We have 5 minutes ahead. Should we formally start out?
Yes, I think it's a good idea.
I doubt that anybody else is going to join us. So, I have been posting to you what I found out about Trusted Introducer, and I think that one major point of this conference call is supposed to be to comment on what Trusted Introducer might provide us with and what we would think of mapping our requirements concerning the incident response, contact repository on a tool like Trusted Introducer. It's a pity that we do not have a comparison right now, and that's why I was referring to that Stephen's going to have a major role in that conference call, because I would have loved to compare it to a different tool. So all we definitely can do at this point in time, as far as I can see it, is to comment on what Trusted Introducer might perform for us. So are there any comments concerning what I wrote towards TI? How would the group feel with mapping the contact repository on TI? No feelings whatsoever? Is anybody out there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let me start out to give some statements how I would feel about using TI. And I would really strongly recommend to the group that you do take a chance just to visit the website of Trusted Introducer, which you can do by www.trusted-introducer.org. So over there you might get quite a good impression what the tool might render for the group. And it's basically not a database, at least not a database on the API, on the user interface, but it's a website where you can browse information, where you can walk through contact data, and doing so by looking for specific countries and finding contact data relating to the specific country you're looking for. Or you can browse information just by browsing in an alphabetic way. So this is basically what TI does. And in the way the certs are using it, they do differentiate between two different statuses. And one status is the status that everybody else in the world can see, and that's why you can see what they have implemented, and they have a so-called accredited or secret area where there is further information, like the information we want to build in contact repository, which can't be accessed by everybody, but where you would need a secure code to access this data. And this seems to include, as far as I can see it, more or less all the functionality we specified that we would like to see in a contact repository. And I think that's one of the requirements I personally would like to see in a repository like that, just to make sure that we do have different communication channels, that an IRC implementation is available somehow so that you can use a messenger functionality, and that has not been implemented by the TI tool as far as I can see it right now. They do not provide any online maintenance APIs, so basically it's just a bilateral communication where you, being one of the registered parties within this browsing list or tool, have to update your data on a bilateral basis with the operator of TI. So you couldn't just change your data once they changed. But Trusted Introducer Operator makes sure that the data are valid and that they are actual, and they're doing so not only by communicating with the parties registered, but also by actively triggering and asking whether some data has changed or not. So this is, as far as I can see, the positive side. So more or less everything we envisioned might be rendered by the tool, and for sure there's a downside, and the downside is that it's going to cost us, or it would cost some money, and the money TI operators are asking for, to my point of view, is quite substantial. So for example, if you would shoot a hold and just ask who else joined.
Hello. Good morning. It's Katrina from .lv.
Hi, Katrina.
And Wim from Center.
Hi, Wim.
I joined too.
So I'm monologizing. Oops.
Okay.
Hard word. Right now, just summing up the functionality TI might provide us with or not. And I just was kind of resuming that TI would provide us with everything we would need, especially if we would ask them to implement, which they would do on a project base, an IRC API as well. And the downside from the TI tool will be that it would cost a substantial amount of money. And I was just making some example figures. For example, if I can recall what we envisioned, then it was that every TLD, no matter whether it's a CCTLD or not, should be eligible to access the contact repository. Operators might be in the repository as well. So let's be a little bit pessimistic about the number of participants listed in a contact data repository, and let's just assume it would be 200. So then the amount of money we would spend or have to spend in the direction of TI would be 20,000 euro just for the setup, and it would be another 20,000 euro for maintenance a year. And I think these are quite substantial numbers, so one might think of implementing it somewhere. And I think you might get it for 20,000 euros to be implemented, but maintenance might be available a lot cheaper than 20,000 euros a year. So this is as far as I can see, or as far as I digest what TI might offer us. And well, I haven't seen anything alternative yet, as Stephen hasn't been able to contact Packet Clearinghouse. So what I would advise to do in the current status right now is, well, wait for Stephen to come up with what he's been able to gather concerning data referring to PCH, and then let's compare those tools. And I would really appreciate if somebody from the group might suggest a different solution, probably implementing a database approach or even implementing a website approach like TI does and proposing to do so on a baseline that substantially is lower figure-wise than the amount of money we would have to spend using TI. Although, for sure, I do not have the slightest of impressions on who is going to spend some money on a tool like this and how much money this might be. Probably Bob can say something towards that and what the official ICANN position towards that might be.
Sorry, I can't. But this might be a question I can relay to ICANN.
Yeah, I would really appreciate if you can do that because this would give us the guidelines where to reach out for. Because if ICANN, for example, says, well, 20,000 euro a year for operating and maintaining wouldn't be a problem, so okay, so we might easily choose a tool like TI. It might be a completely different approach if we say, well, we probably just want to finance the setup costs by,
yeah,
for example, ICANN, and every party who wants to be listed has to be to pay by itself, so there are different models we might operate on. And I would really appreciate if, Bart, if you can reconfirm or reconfess with ICANN what they think about it.
Yes, I will. Excuse me. What I also suggest is I'll include, say, your emails and put it in a document. So once Stevens or somebody else has contacted Packet Clearinghouse, we put them in one document so they become comparable.
Yeah.
So you don't have all these emails floating around.
Good idea. So, yeah, we can do that. What do the members of the groups think? Could you live with 1,000 euros each to be spent to be listed in the contact repository operated by a trusted introducer? Would that be an amount of money you would want to spend, or, yeah?
Well, as for us, for .lv, CertNIC.lv is already listed in a trusted introducers database, but so the question is, should we have another record for the CCTLD or not? But, well, in any case, I think that 1,000 euros would be too much, perhaps. Would definitely be happy with a cheaper solution.
Sure, who won't?
Yeah, exactly. But, well, I'm just thinking about, well, in any case, I think that this, if you are looking for a contact regarding CCTLD or something like that, so you will just look for, of course, it's not good to have a completely different database which is not related to any other CCTLD or security-related issues. So I think that the trusted introducers in that respect is a very good solution. Another one I think of is maybe...
Hold it. May I just ask one question? So
yep.
What you're currently proposing, which I think is very interesting indeed, is that there might even be something like a, well, joint database for CCTLDs and certs?
Well, in case of trusted introducer, that would be a case, yes, think so. With probably some flag indicating that this is responsible for CCTLD operation or something. But I wanted to say that another solution for me for CCTLDs probably would be IANA database.
Yeah, definitely.
If we have something, if they are going to introduce something with authentication, probably just have some additional fields there, and so any CCTLD should have access to this database, and then just can see any information they need.
Yeah. I haven't looked into the IANA database in too much depth concerning whether it is applicable or usable for all the data attributes we would want to see in it.
Not at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and one specific thing I strongly doubt is that they would have alternative ways to communicate except using some kind of internet protocol. And this for sure is one of the major advantages you would have using, for example, TI. I do not want to advocate it, but I just want to point out that one major feature is that you do have an alternative communication channel, and they implemented SMS as a mechanism to communicate once the internet is not working, and the possibility that we would want to communicate with somebody else because the internet is not working is quite high. So that definitely, to my point of view, has to be an alternative communication channel.
Okay, yeah.
Excuse me, Björk, this is Bart. There is another, so I know this by experience, there is another issue with the IANA database in the sense that it's reasonably passive. As if I understand you correctly, TI is actively approaching registered entities to check whether their data is up to date.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
And this is, and IANA doesn't do it. They say if you look at the data in the IANA database, to my knowledge, and look, I'm not, but this is anecdotal, the data in the IANA database depends on the registered entity. So if there is a change of name or whatsoever, the CCTLD has to actively approach the IANA to change it.
Yeah, and the communication mechanisms are not, I would call it, highly sophisticated.
That's another issue, no? But it's by default that they do not check or approach CCTLDs to check whether the data is correct.
So if we take those arguments, those two arguments, would it be too fast to at this point of time already rule out that we are following up on the IANA database as well, or are these two arguments that strong that it doesn't make sense to follow up on or to look into more detail concerning whether the IANA database might be a solution for us or not?
May I suggest, say, these criteria or maybe some other criteria are the way to to look at the different options. And it's a matter of weighing the outcome on these different factors that you propose something to the larger community. Say, on the one hand side, you might have this alternative communication channels, but if it comes at a very, very high cost, then the question is, do you really want to do it?
Sure. Well, yeah. things that strike my mind at this point of time. First, I think it might be really, really hard to move forward on any change concerning the IANA database so that it would perform additional functions and would provide additional features. So this might be a really hard way to go.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I think, and the second thing, it might be even harder to persuade whoever is in charge to implement something like SMS services. I strongly doubt that there would be any chance whatsoever to accomplish that, but we can at least what we can do before we propose that in the wider community, just ask the guys responsible for running the IANA database what they think, if they do see a chance that the IANA database and its features might be changed or updated in the way we would want to have them.
So, or create an alternative database.
Yeah, or so, yeah.
Yeah. And that, and then it boils down again to a matter of money, probably.
Yeah. Anybody volunteering for that job?
So it's very simple. What I could do is, as you asked me to check with say Yuri and Patrick to look, Patrick Jones to look into possible funding and assistance in funding from ICANN. I can ask this as well.
Yeah, that might be good. Thanks.
This is just as easy. So I'm just a channel of communication in this.
Okay. Good. So we worked out that there are two crucial points any solution definitely needs to have, and that is mechanisms to make sure that the data are actual each and every time, and that we do have alternative ways of communicating. And the next step would be to come up with additional data on the packet clearinghouse solution. And then we probably might set those two aside or just compare them in one document and ask the wider community what they would prefer, a solution like TI and the money one might do have to spend for it, a solution like Packet House where we do not have any features right now, or what I proposed as well is just, implement it ourselves and find somebody who is willing to implement it for less money than we would have to spend for the other two solutions. And let this decide by a wider community or discuss it by a wider community, probably in Cartagena.
Jörg, I do have two additional questions. Say one is for the whole group. Are there other alternative criteria which you consider to be critical besides these two? Say alternative communication channels and accurate data.
Hi, it's Paul McKittrick from New Zealand here. I think reliability is going to be a key thing. Obviously, there's a premium price that they're looking to charge here, but if that's also backed up by high assurance of the availability behind the service, that quality of service that's available, then there's something we need to take into consideration as well. We don't want the cheapest product, and then when a situation happens we really need it, that it falls over. So there's a lot of cost that's associated and behind that. So that's just something I'll throw in there.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And I think I gave some information on how resilient the TI solution might be, by the way.
Yeah.
So they do have two different operating centers, but they are not really geographically that far aside from each other. But still, it's a redundant service. But good point. We want it redundant.
Or at least a guarantee and a reasonable assumption that it is available 24/7.
Yeah.
Is there any other point?
Which, by the way, Bart, enhances what was just said. It's not only that it has to be redundant, it has to be available 24/7.
Yeah.
Well,
any other critical?
Not to my point of view.
Okay, but that makes it easier to compare the different options.
Sure.
Yeah. My second question was more with Catherine. Catherine, You said your cert is, or say the cert is on TI as well. Do you know what they pay?
We're paying because this is our cert team. We run cert
yeah.
team, and this cert team is in trusted entities. I can find this any last invoice, but if I have.
So is it approximately the same amount
but
as?
It's about 1,000 euros. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure that say you're not pulling
no,
the leg.
They are not charging more. Probably we can negotiate some.
Yeah.
Bulk discounts.
Yeah, but nevertheless, the numbers are given roughly. I think
yeah.
we might negotiate some like 10% here or there, but roughly this is what we have to consider.
Yeah, no. It was more an idea that they have. Say that was just crossing my mind that they have two or three categories of customers. One they can charge a lot, one they can charge less, and some are almost for free.
Okay. Could we think, by the way, of any other financing model that we do not have discussed until this point in time? So we had Icon is going to pay for it. We had Icon is going to pay for the setup, and each country and each context who wants to be listed has to pay by itself at least the maintenance fee. We might have yet another option, like Icon isn't paying anything, and everybody who wants to be listed has to pay not only the maintenance fee, which is year by year, but the setup fee as well. Any other suggestion on how we might finance if we would choose to use Trusted Introducer?
This is Bart. Say from the past, I know that some. Let me put it this way: if you look at say some of the ICANN meetings, and for instance at the CCNSO dinners, they are paid by some of the largest CCTLDs. You could argue, say, paying for a dinner is one, but this is far more important.
Sure.
So that might be an alternative funding model as well. That some CCTLDs say, okay, for the better and greater good, but that's...
Yeah, or a sponsoring model.
Yeah.
From the community
yeah.
where, for example, we might even provide the whole community with access and, for example, making a project prize for any of those tools.
Yeah.
Let's say we spend 15,000 euros a year, and no matter how many contacts they are supposed to be listed, you list them and you get a fixed amount of money no matter whether it's going to be 10 or 1,000.
Yeah, something like that. That's
yeah.
an alternative as well. But say the CCTLD community at large, say from a solidarity and responsibility perspective, picks up the bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's an alternative model as well.
Good. We need to discuss anything else with respect to TI, or are we done with what we wanted to say about TI?
York, this is Paul McKittrick again from New Zealand.
Yeah, Paul.
I just had one question for you. You mentioned that there's set queries that are available to give you information out. After playing with the user interface, did you feel that was sufficient, like not having the ability to be able to run your own queries at will?
I felt that it's sufficient just to browse information, and it was just something that comes to my mind in the first place when I thought about mapping relational, more or less relational data into a storage. Well, you come up with a solution that looks like a database or a database management system. So That was my first vision of how such an API might look. And for sure, the other alternative is to make it in a more webby way, in a more visual way. And I feel that this is quite sufficient, at least for me. I think it's quite sufficient. But as I said before, just take the opportunity and visit the Trusted Introducer website, and there you can see and feel how the look and feel really is. And the only problem I see with this approach of presenting information is not the way you present the data, but the way in which you modify data. And as I said, there is an implementation to modify to keep data update, and a query solution or a database solution which would be accessible for any participating party would be much easier, to my point of view, except this or in contrast with what Trusted Introducer has implemented right now. So in this respect, I would prefer a database solution, but I could live with what they provide right now. Does that answer your question? Have I gotten it right?
Yes, yes, it does. And
okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay, if there are not further comments or discussion points concerning TI, then I think we're almost done, except that Bart wants to make, I think, at least one other point.
Yeah, just one. Say, as some of you may be aware, EichenStab, in particular, say the group of Yuri and Patrick Jones and John Crane, has published the, I think it's called the Stability, Security and Resilience Plan, and it's up for public comment. My understanding is the public comment period ends officially around mid-October, but it will be extended for some 1 or 2 weeks due to translations, and they need to be published. But there is also the possibility to invite Patrick Jones, who has succeeded Greg Rattray, to provide an update to explain what is in the SSR plan, and in order to make it easier to provide comments to this plan if needed. And my question was, would this group, given this is the only group he really dedicated to say some of the issues in the SSR plan, would this group be interested in having such a call, and we could invite others to attend such a conference call as well, and then it can be scheduled at what I understand at different times, so it's easier for the West, say people in the Western Hemisphere and the Eastern Hemisphere. Would this be of interest to this group? I hope I made it clear. I hope you understand what I'm babbling.
Yeah. It was clear for me.
Any...
But probably we should take the chance first to take a look in the SSR plan, and if we do feel that we would need some further explanation and a conference call,
yeah,
we might just indicate that by emailing you, Bart, or me.
Yeah, or just send it to the list. That's fine. I'm subscribed to this list as well. So if there is a sense, put it the other way, I think if this working group is not interested, then it's going to be very difficult to get people on board from who are not on the, say not as focused on security and stability issues to attend such a call, and just to have a call for one or two people is a waste of time of everybody's time, I would say.
Yeah. Okay, so let's make it that way, like giving each other the time to take a closer look into the SSR plan, and then write on the list whether or not we would appreciate a call with.
Yeah, and you are invited to comment, even if you say the on to the plan, even if you would say the plan is crap. So what I'll do for this list, I will send a link to the public comment period. Here you find all the information. If you say in order to make it useful and you want to have more information about this plan, I would if you could respond by the end of by this time next week, that would be very good, because then it's easy to set up. Otherwise, we run too close to the and if you had comments, we run too close to the closure of the public comment period.
So that would be at the end of week 40. That is.
Yeah. So that would
October.
Be. Yeah. So early October. Yeah. So in a week's time.
Tough. I knew there was something else coming up.
Well, if you're not interested, then it's fine as well. But it just see it as an opportunity. We can do it 1 week, probably a week later is fine as well. So that would be the 12th of October. But then we're running in very closely to the end date of the current public comment period.
I see that there's a Senate meeting coming our way, and that's not only coming my way, but in other ways as well. So I doubt that I will have the time this week, and I definitely would not have it next week. So
we make it the 12th.
Be prepared to receive something in a week starting from the 11th.
Yeah. So and this is just about the indication whether or not you want a call.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I leave it up to you. But that's the only thing. And I will send you the information about the SSR plan so you have it. I will send it to the list and explain what the purpose was.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Anything
that was
else
all.
We would have to discuss? One thing that Bart, do you have any information concerning Stephen and when he might be in a
let me check again. I don't. He only indicated that he was out for a couple of weeks. So I'll check, and once we have it, and I'll make sure that he sends it to the list, or follow up again, or somebody else has to do it with banking.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And that is, if he can do it, he should say so as quickly as possible, so that we can just make sure that somebody else does it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anything else? Doesn't seem to be the case. So then thanks for attending the call. And I think we haven't set up a successive call yet. So that's probably one task I do have to do. And I will address Christina to do it with me. And I propose some dates on our way to Cartagena. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. And hearing you soon. Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.